of her. Of course, we do go to other scriptural references as well. But the word of God is everlasting. The word of God is life. Did you hear me? Say, the word of God is life. The word of God is also prophetic. Matter of fact, the word of God is better than any newspaper you ever read. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's the reason it's so important that we hear the word of God. So, do you have the book of Jude? All right, I want to begin reading at the very first verse, and I'm reading from my New King James Version Bible. Thank you, Lord. It says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men, listen very carefully, for certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward, they destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to those having given themselves over to sexual immortality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Wow. Verse 8. Likewise, also those dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he was disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Now, I read this last week too, and then we stopped at verse 11. Let me read verse 11 again. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. And last week we talked about Cain, and I won't go back into Cain again this week. If you didn't watch our service last Wednesday night, you know, it's still online. You can go and watch it as I ministered about Cain, and Cain had some issues. Would you agree? Yeah, Cain had some issues. Cain wanted to do things his way. And guess what? We still have folk like that today, don't we? Don't we? We have folk that wants to do things their way. I know the Bible says this, but. I know God wants this, but. I tell you what, them buts will get you in a whole lot of trouble when you refuse to obey the word of the Lord. Amen. So now let's go back to verse 11. It says, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Now listen to this. Have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. Have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. Now I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, I make a choice. I'm not going the way of Cain. Anybody else out there? Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you something else. I'm not going the way of Balaam either. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. That wasn't the trumpet yet. We're still here. Glory be to God. Amen. So what I want to do is let's take a look at Balaam. You know, Jude mentions Balaam here, so I think we need to take a look at Balaam. You know, we may not cover everything there is about Balaam, but that, you know, that gives you some room for study. Amen. To go and do some study for yourself. But there's some things about Balaam that we need to know. Now, turn in your Bibles. I'm trying to decide which one I want to go to first. Go to the book of Numbers. And we'll get familiar with Balaam. The 22nd chapter, I think, is where I'll begin. Now, if it's okay with you folks, I'm gonna read a little more. Is that all right? Amen. Now, let me see where I want to begin. I don't want to read the whole chapter. I'll say this much. King Balak was very concerned. Folks in the countries around the children of Israel, they noticed what God had done for them and how God had delivered them. They knew that God out of the hand of Pharaoh, out of Egypt, and so they watched them. And many of the leadership of the countries, they were afraid of the children of Israel. And King Balak was also one that did. And so what he did, he sent some fellas to Balaam the prophet. And I'll read it, but I just want to sort of give you an overview. He sent some fellas to Balaam, the prophet Balaam, and he said, "Listen, I want you to curse the children of Israel. I want you to speak a curse over them because I'm afraid of them. I'm concerned about them. And if you will do that, you will be greatly rewarded." Okay? He says, I will reward you if you will curse them. Okay? So I tell you what I want to do. I want to go ahead and pick it up now at verse 21. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Okay? Now there's a little more to this story. Let me read on. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way. Okay? Now, if you read the entire chapter, you will find that finally God told Balaam he could go, but if you go, you better speak what I tell you to speak. You speak what I tell you to speak. Okay? But Balaam was a greedy fella. He had his mind on the king's reward. Whatever it was the king was going to give him, gold, silver, whatever, that's what he wanted. So verse 22 again, then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now I'm just reading right now. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, which with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you? You have struck me these three times." And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, Am I not your donkey, on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing by the way with his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now, I just want to point out a few things as we proceed. Number one, this Balaam was a prophet. He was a prophet, but he was a greedy prophet. Amen. He was a greedy prophet. Are there any greedy prophets today? I'm sure there are somewhere. And not just prophets. Amen? We see from what I've read that King Balak offered Balaam a reward to curse the children of Israel. Now, this is very interesting. I read this. Balaam just went, took a couple of his fellows, and he went, followed the other guys, Balak's men. The angel was standing with his sword drawn. I want you to think about this for a moment. Just think about it. Now, this man, Balaam, didn't care anything about children of Israel. He had this money on his mind. Whatever the reward was. That's what he had on his mind. Now, I was thinking about that one day. Now, I don't have a horse. If I had one, wouldn't have anywhere to keep him. But if I had a horse, and I'm riding that horse, and the horse turn his head around, look at me, and say, will you please dismount? You need to lose some weight. You're heavy. I tell you one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to carry on a conversation with that horse. I'm going to, as quick as I can, dismount from that horse. Did somebody say cast the devil out of him? Cast the devil out of him. But this donkey was speaking. Well, anyway, let me go on. Here's my point I'm making. this man, Balaam, this prophet, was so focused on the reward that when the donkey began to talk to him, he didn't notice any difference. He just started talking back. Now, let me tell you something. That is a lesson for you and I today. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, who's talking to you? Who are you listening to? God did not create a donkey or any other animal to talk. Now, I realize parrots can be trained to speak certain things. But Balaam, he was so focused on the world and what he could get for himself that when the donkey ministered to him, he just started talking back. Now, what would you have done? You don't have to answer. I'm just giving you something to think about. The angel was standing with sword drawn because Balaam was out of the will of God. And the angel told Balaam, if it hadn't been for your donkey, you would be dead. Amen. So let's I heard somebody say one time that dumb animals had more sense than Balaam did. And I agree with them. But here's something else I want you to notice. Listen to me real good. King Balak sent Balaam to curse the children of Israel. But every time he spoke, opened his mouth, blessings came out. Are you hearing me? Blessings came out. Blessings came out. Blessings came out. I like it where it says, all good and perfect gifts come from the Lord. You got to understand something and know something. God is on our side. Hear me again. God is on our side. God is in the blessing business. God wants to bless us. Yeah, we get in trouble when we make the wrong decision and we decide to go our own way. That gets us off course. But God wants to bless us. God wants to bless our lives. So when Balak opened his mouth to prophesy, he prophesied blessings on the children of Israel. And of course, it made the king angry. But he spoke blessings. I heard it said years and years ago, and I've never forgotten it. And maybe you heard the same thing. If not, hang on to what I'm about to tell you. Nobody, are you ready? Nobody can curse what God has blessed. Amen. Let me say that again. Nobody can curse what God has blessed. Don't live your life in fear, concerned that somebody's going to put a curse on you. Like I told you Sunday, I believe it was Sunday, don't you ever forget that greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Say this with me. No one can curse what God has blessed. Amen. Now, why don't you say this with me? If you believe it, say it. If you don't believe it, don't say a word. Say, I am the blessed of the Lord.
I am the blessed of the Lord.
Say it again.
I am the blessed of the Lord.
One more time.
I am the blessed of the Lord.
I am the blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Here's the sad thing about it, though. The Bible tells us that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, right? If you will remember this, you'll stay out of trouble. And it began in the Garden of Eden. It began with deception. It began with lust. The only way that Balaam could get to the children of Israel was through deception. Are you still here? Hallelujah. It was through deception. The devil will use your own lust to trip you up. Now, if we stay in the Word of God, if we'll walk according to the Word of God, we are protected. Distracted, then that's what gets us in trouble. Now, turn in your Bibles to James, the very first chapter, book of James. Hallelujah. Look at what the Word of God says. You have James chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Did you see that? Let me read that again. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that there is no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above what we can stand, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape. Why would he provide a way of escape if he's the one doing the tempting? Amen. Guys upstairs, put 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it's 13. I hope I'm right on that. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Hallelujah. First Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 10:13, yes. Okay, yes, that's it. Listen, let me read it to you again. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. God delivers us from temptation. He don't bring the temptation. We need to understand that. Amen. So now, I'm still here in James, the first chapter. So let me read verse 13 to you again. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But now look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. But each one is tempted when he, and that goes to females also, applies to females, when he is drawn away by his what? Own desires and enticed. That's what Balaam did. He could not speak a cursing on the children of Israel, but he could deceive them into cursing their own selves through their own lust. You still here? Look at it again. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desires are conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, bring forth death. Read verse 16 out loud. I can't hear you. Do not, it's on the screen. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Let me tell you, that's the only way the devil can get to you is through deception. Having you believe in something that's a lie. Having you following the desires of your flesh rather than following the word of God. And that's the reason God was so angry at Balaam. He couldn't prophesy doom, but he deceived them. And you have to read the whole thing. We don't have time tonight. The children of Israel began to worship Baal. And there was a whole lot of sex going on. Got nasty. And their flesh was enjoying every minute of it. Listen, brothers and sisters, I hope you're listening to me. And it's getting worse. Remember what the Apostle Paul himself said, and I've reminded you of this many times before. He said, I buffet my body. He said, I keep it under. In other words, he said, I got to control this thing because I cannot allow my body or my flesh to get out of control, because then if I allow that to happen, then I'm in trouble. So he made the statement, yes, I'm a preacher, called of God, an apostle of God. But if I don't keep my body under, I can preach to others and yet I be rejected. Hallelujah. I hope you're grabbing this. Now, you may not feel like this is shouting stuff tonight, but this is heavy stuff. It's good. And if you walk it out, amen, the devil can't trip you up. Excuse me. Glory to God. Now, I just want to read you some references. I'm about to wind this up. But go back to Numbers, the 31st chapter this time. So understand, Balaam wanted the rewards that Balak was offering him. We'll just say it this way. He wanted the money. He wanted the money. And all you have to do, Balaam, is curse the children of Israel. And matter of fact, when it didn't work the first time, he went back and said, listen, I'll increase it. If you'll just curse them, I'll give you more. Didn't work that time either. Can somebody tell me why? I told you earlier. Say it loud. You cannot curse what God has blessed. Amen. So now, Numbers 31, I got to get there myself. Glory to God. And again, for the sake of time, I'm just going to read one verse, but you can see again why God was so angry at Balaam. Verse 16, it says, this is Numbers 31:16. Look, and I'd encourage you to read the whole chapter later. Look, these women caused the children of Israel through what? Through what? The counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. They began to worship Baal of Peor and got involved in all of that activity at the council of Baal. All righty, let's go to the book of Revelation, second chapter. Revelation, the second chapter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, this is the letter to the church at Pergamos, or some pronounce it Pergamos. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell. Ills, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those, listen to this, those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Here's what I want to leave with you tonight, brothers and sisters. Jude talked about Balaam. Whatever you do, don't go the way of Balaam. Balaam was greedy for wealth. He was a prophet, and he spoke blessings on the people of God because he couldn't curse them. He wanted to curse them, but he spoke blessings on them because he couldn't curse what God had blessed. But he chose a different way. He decided to deceive them, give them something that satisfies their flesh. Are you listening? I'm getting ready to close. Give them something that satisfies their flesh. Give them something that scratches their itch. And that's exactly what he did. And many fell for it. Now, how does that apply to us today? Make sure everything you do, you hear, line up with the Word of God. Don't be led by your fleshly desires. You do like Paul do, said, you keep them under. You take authority over. The Bible tells us that we are spirit, soul, and body. We're spiritual beings because we're created in God's image and his likeness. We have a soul. That's our emotions and our intellect and so forth, and our mind. And we are told that we are to renew that through the Word of God. Our minds are to be renewed through the Word of God. And then we have our bodies. Our bodies are not to lead us. We should follow our spirit that's full of the Word of God. You can't do what your body wants you to do. You got to follow your spirit by renewing your mind through the Word of God. You still here? Next thing, watch out for your emotions. The enemy will trip you up because of your emotions. You can be so emotionally attached to something that the enemy will use that very thing to get you off track. Well, I'll take any amens I can get, you know. Watch your emotions. Watch your emotions. That's the reason we must make time for God. We must spend time with Him. Hallelujah. Now, emotions are good when they are controlled by the Word of God. I think it was Sunday I made this statement. There's nothing wrong with tears of joy. The Bible said Jesus wept. But one of the things that we have to be so cautious about today is deception. Understand something as I close. If the enemy can't get you one way, he'll go back to the drawing board and try to figure out something else to trip you up. Notice when he tempted Jesus and he was unsuccessful. Amen. Jesus didn't fall for it. But the Bible says that Satan left him for a season. In other words, he left him to go re-strategize and try to come again. But I like what Jesus said. No man take my life. I'm not going before the time. No man take my life. He says, I'm going to lay it down at the proper time. What was he saying? It doesn't matter what the devil try. He's not leaving before time. He's always strategizing, try to get you off course. Stay with the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And I hope you folk received the Word of God tonight. Hope you received this. Because here's the thing. It could be a week. It could be a month. It could be a year. It could be longer than that. But there's coming a time you're going to have to fall back. In other words, you're going to have to fall back on what I just said. The Word of God. That's the reason that we feed on the Word of God. So that when the day of temptation, the day of trial, whatever comes, we are well able to conquer it, knowing that He's made us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So if a Balaam come along, you'll recognize him. He or she may be prophesying. And don't get me wrong, the Bible tells us not to despise prophesying. But it also tells us not to be deceived, right? Huh?
Amen.
Amen. We need to be balanced. We need to be well seasoned in the Word of God. That way we recognize, hey, glory to God, this is God. This is God. But then on the other hand, if it's not God, we need to be spiritual enough to recognize this is not God. That way we don't get off course. We stay in the Word of God. We stay in God's plan for our lives. We don't get caught up in our emotions. We stay in God's plan for our lives. There's one thing that's so very, 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 very important to you and to me is simply this. we must stay in God's plan for our life. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word. And we know that your word would never ever...